Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. It is tax season. But this is a season filled with uncertainty. This is the first filing tax season since the sweeping tax reform was passed in December of 2017. So what does it mean for you this year? We're answering that question and your other tax questions. My guests are Joseph Lightman, Santa Cruz Deputy Director of Capital Area Asset Builder, and Chris Tinker, CPA and partner with TSC Enterprises. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Also tonight, as always during this time, we're going to talk about the Earned Income Tax Credit. Is it changing this year? The big question. Gentlemen, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Harold.
Thank you.
Okay, so let me start with you, Chris. Is this going to be a dark year, empty pockets for people expecting tax returns? What's different?
Well, I think what's different is doing a new tax changes. People throughout the year had received additional money, maybe $25, $50 extra, because the withholding tables actually changed.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're noticing now is when they actually file their tax returns, instead of getting back a refund, they're owing because the withholding tables changed, and you kind of got bamboozled a little bit during this process. So they're not getting the refunds that they were normally accustomed to getting. They're end up breaking even or owing.
Wow. And I'm sure that is not a very pleasant surprise for a lot of people. Now, what about those people, for example, who may have owed in the past? Are they owing more this year?
Yes, they are.
What's going on? What are we missing for those who assumed that perhaps they would be getting a refund? What happened when you say that the withholding tables changed? Give me an example.
So not only the withholding tables, the tax changes that happened this year were the biggest change since 1986 as far as revamping the tax code. So what has really happened, a lot of people who normally would take itemized deductions are not meeting that threshold. They have phased out state taxes. You normally could write off your state taxes, state real estate taxes. That is now being capped at $10,000. In the area like the DMV, it's easier just on your real estate taxes to have close to $10,000, depending on the size of your home. So a lot of other deductions, as far as you used to have unreimbursable employee expenses, where like firemen, police officers would write off their uniform costs, cleaning their uniform, that is all gone. People had home offices who weren't getting reimbursed from their job, could normally write off the internet service, computer stuff of that nature. That no longer exists. So you lost quite a few deductions that we normally were used to taking.
So what? Gosh, I don't even know how to configure my question because I'm sitting here thinking I'm seeing dollar signs fly away on little wings from my head. Who's getting a refund?
The people that is really benefiting are the ones who own businesses. They're receiving a 20% deduction on your income that's brand new for this year. Which is, to me, kind of unheard of. When I heard that was coming, I'm like, really? Mm-hmm. You're going to get a 20% deduction on income. So hypothetically, if your business made $100,000, and if you were a flow-through, which is a S corporation or a partnership, or even a C corporation, you made $100,000, you get to deduct $20,000 from your income.
Mm-hmm.
So that would cause you to get back a larger refund and a bigger deduction.
Does that also include home-based businesses?
Yes, if it's being reported like as a Schedule C, so it would be.
Okay. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the new tax season after the sweeping tax reform was passed back in 2017. What does this mean for you as you are preparing to file your 2018 taxes? If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before I go to the phone lines, I want to make sure that I bring Joseph in here. Joseph, every year we have you here and we talk about the earned income tax credit. Briefly explain what that is, and is it different this year because of the tax reform?
Thanks, Harold. Appreciate the opportunity. The Earned Income Tax Credit, or better known as EITC, is considered the most effective public policy to lift Americans out of poverty and keep them out of poverty. So to give you a specific snapshot, here in the District of Columbia, last year alone, the EITC lifted more than 10,000 families out of poverty and kept them out of poverty. So a family of four with adjusted gross income of about $25,000, if and only if they are reporting income, meaning that they're filing a tax form, they would be eligible for about $6,400 at the federal level. On top of that, D.C. has the most robust state version of the EITC, which could be bringing an additional $2,300 to that family. This is associated with one tax credit alone. And Harold, this is why it's extremely important to ensure that every single American files a tax form. We have this myth, this wrong assumption, that those of lower means, those who have received low wages or have low income, might have not earned enough income to pay taxes, which might be true. So you do not owe anything to Uncle Sam, yet Uncle Sam can owe you thousands of dollars. And that's why it's extremely important that every single individual who earn income either through a W-2 employment status or a 1099 or participating in the gig economy, driving for Uber, Lyft, is reporting income so that they can find out if they qualify for tax credits. And to piggyback on what was mentioned a couple of minutes ago, Harold, every week that goes by, we're seeing new data being released by the IRS, and refunds in the past, primarily for low and moderate income families throughout the DMV and throughout the U.S., have always been seen as a significant amount of cash infusion, right? For a lot of families, this is the highest amount of money received, which would be paying primarily debt or some kind of a consumption, and hopefully some kind of savings or investment into the long-term well-being. Well, because of the significant changes made in the tax law in December 2017, right now we're seeing that the refunds are down by more than 40% on dollar amounts, but the number of people being impacted, the first week it was 8%. The second week on a cumulative basis, 17%. The data released by the IRS just yesterday indicates that more than 27% of those who received refunds last year are not receiving a refund this year. So by the time we get to April 15th, it should not surprise us if we surpass more than 50%, meaning that now we have to adjust completely how we are expecting a refund, and we need to be a lot more prudent. We need to be savvier on how we manage our finances on a daily basis.
Let me go to the phone calls. I have some other questions about the earned income tax credit, but I want to grab some of these phone calls. We have quite a few, and we want to remind our listeners, of course, that we will continue to take your phone calls even after 7:30. If you're having difficulty getting through, please keep trying. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dan, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Dan. What's on your mind?
Hey, Harold. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, listen, first and foremost, let's call this what this is, a tax scam, because there's no way in hell, excuse my French, that the owner of Amazon did not pay any taxes. I don't know how he pulled that out of his hat, but it's ridiculous. Secondly, regarding the tax season, I have a two-part question. I did not change my deductions, my W-4 deductions, last year at all. And years past, they've remained the same, and I've always received a refund. Now, with this new tax laws or whatever, it seems like I did some calculations. It looks like I'm going to be owing instead? That's number one. Or actually, the question is, I guess, should I change my deductions to a lower or lower exemptions, I should say, is my first question. And secondly, regarding itemization, years past, I was able to itemize medical expenses. Am I able to do that in this with these new tax laws?
Okay. Dan, thank you so much. Chris, go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. So basically, that's what we were discussing earlier. You would need to adjust your exemptions on your W-4 form and probably come down one or two to compensate for the new withholding tables that was implemented. So you're 100% correct. You didn't adjust anything. That's what we're seeing from a lot of people. And now where you used to get a refund, now you owe. Okay. So you would need to go ahead and adjust it yourself and probably adjust down one or two.
And Harold, why that's important is because we did not make changes to our W-4 forms, right?
Right.
HR did not ask us to make changes. We didn't tell HR to make changes. The federal government forced all the employers to make a change. So if we were not paying attention to what took place in 2018, we were completely unaware that this significant modification to a potential refund would be coming up this time in the year.
And medical expenses?
Yes, you can still deduct medical expenses. It's a 10% threshold.
Of your income?
Of your income, of your adjusted gross income. But now, since you have the standard deduction, which has increased for married couples $24,000, it's a high hurdle to have to overcome.
Okay, Dan, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about tax season and what has changed since tax reform laws were passed back in December of 2017. Teresa, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Teresa. What's on your mind?
Yes,
go right ahead.
Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
My question was that if a person, one is a business owner, the other is retired, and they've been filing jointly. They're a married couple. They're filing joint together, right? So would it be better for the person that has a business with a Schedule C to file individually and not jointly with their spouse? Because you're finding out each year we're owing government.
Okay, Chris?
So to give you a proper answer, we really would need to kind of look at the your actual tax situation and actually look at the hard numbers. Normally, you have a better benefit doing married filing jointly.
Historically. But has that changed?
I'm seeing some changes to where some people are benefiting doing married filing separate.
Are you serious?
Right. So we would have to.
Wow.
And it kind of depends whether there are kids involved. There's a lot of different factors that we'd have to look at. And maybe the issue might be, since the business owner is self-employed, are they really paying enough estimated taxes? So we would have to kind of look at all that to give you a proper answer.
I see. Real quick, before I go to a break, Joseph, where can people find out more information about the earned income tax credit?
On our website, caab.org, or you can also be sending a text message to 797979 with the word DC taxes. Harold, by folks having sending that text message, they'll get a link automatically to all of the free tax preparation sites that assist low-income families throughout the District of Columbia.
And always, as always, that information will be on our website on WHUR.com tonight after 9 o'clock or so. More of your questions coming up. Teresa, thank you so much for your phone call. We're going to talk to Craig calling from Baltimore, Pam calling from Virginia. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. It's tax season. You may have a tax headache this year. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. I'm Harold Fisher. This conversation continues on Sirius XM in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about tax season. If you haven't filed yet, please listen. And even if you have filed, we've got a lot of information here that you will need because you may need to refile. And that's, you know, we laugh, but you know, this is a very, very serious issue. My guests are Joseph Lightman, Santa Cruz, Deputy Director of Capital Area Asset Builders, and Chris Tinker. He's a CPA and partner with TSC Enterprises. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Craig, calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling, Craig. What's on your mind?
Hello. I just have a quick two-part question. My first question is, in terms of taxes, it sounds like the new tax code is steering people towards taking a standard deduction. And I guess my question to that is will I fare better doing the standard deduction? And secondly, I'm just curious, what kind of tax implications have there been for those people who file state taxes? You know, like I live in Maryland. Are those refunds going to be affected differently? And I'll just take my comment from you now, please.
Okay. Chris?
So basically, in order to do the standard deduction was increased this year to $24,000 for married filing jointly.
And what about, now, are you married, Craig?
Yes, I'm married and I have two teenagers.
Okay.
So in order to itemize, the biggest deduction most people would have would be mortgage, homeowner. Then you have mortgage interest, you have real estate taxes. Then it allows you to also to take charitable contributions, things of that nature would be the main things to drive. So if a lot of people will have a hard time getting to that threshold of $24,000 this year.
So what you're saying is you have a choice of a $24,000 standard deduction or itemizing, hoping that your itemization will be above $24,000?
Yes, sir. Exactly.
I see. Okay. Craig, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. Before I go back to the phone lines, something, Joseph, that I want to make sure I'm clear about. When you're talking about the earned income tax credit and you're talking about money that's left on the table, if a family of four, and if I have my math correct, if my family of four with, you said $24,000 a year?
Yeah, so the EITC is primarily for low-income families with dependents, and it's a great way to actually maximize the tax code. And something very useful to always keep in mind, which one of your listeners very politely referred to, is the game is for the benefit of those with means, primarily for the benefit of those who are affluent or ultra high net worth. And that is why talking about something that is for the benefit of low or moderate income families is extremely important, Harold, because this is how wealth creation can actually be brought primarily to our communities of color.
But my question is this, because you said we're talking about the possibility we're talking about $8,000 total, right?
Yeah, so a D.C. family of four with income of about $25,000 could be making about $9,000, $6,400 from the federal side and about $2,300 from the D.C. government side.
Now, I don't know what the new table said, but would that put them in another income bracket?
So fortunately, that is not because this is money that is theirs to begin with. If they file a tax form, they can actually get it back. So
right.
It's a matter of claiming it because it was always theirs to begin with. That is why it's really great that fortunately the EITC was not touched during the 2017 tax code modifications. And fortunately, the EITC has been receiving significant bipartisan support since it was created in the mid-70s.
But my question is this. If you are a family of four making $25,000 a year in 2018, and then in 2019, you get $9,000 back after you file your taxes. What happens next year?
Got it. No, fortunately, it's called a refundable tax credit.
Okay.
So it is not something that in the following year you would be adding as additional income.
Okay. You were going to say something, Chris?
I just wanted to piggyback. So the credit is additional money that you would get in addition to your withholdings. So the amount, as Judge was saying, was $6,400. But I have clients who are getting back from the IRS up to like $9,000 or $10,000 because they had withholdings of $4,000.
I see. Yeah. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Pam calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, Harold.
Hi.
I'm calling you once again. I called you every so often and talk to you. I'm calling because I haven't done my taxes yet, but I'm wondering if I get a refund, will I be able to take that money and deposit all or some of it into my IRA?
Absolutely. You're really preaching on what needs to be done, right? Which is to focus on any kind of a tax refund needs to be utilized to pay down debt, to start setting up an emergency savings fund, to save for retirement. If you or any other family member is looking into completing a degree, any kind of post-secondary education, you can be opening a 529, a college savings account. But by the way, ma'am, by you depositing money into an individual retirement account, you would be able to actually decrease a tax implication or actually increase your tax refund. So it definitely behooves you to be putting as much as possible into your IRA.
Okay.
How about my TSP, which is the federal government's 401k? Would I be able to take, if I get a refund, some of that money and deposit it into that?
So the Thrift Savings Plan, the TSP, is actually a pre-tax contribution, so it would not be impacting your overall tax implication.
Okay, Pam, thank you so much for your phone call, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. James calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, James. What's on your mind?
Good evening, guys. How are you?
Just fine, thank you.
I have a question. Okay, I pay alimony. Am I going to be able to claim that for next year's?
So the tax law did change. So if you already were paying alimony, you are grandfathered in. But if you start paying alimony and got a divorce in 2019, and it starts in 2019, you no longer can write it off.
Oh, okay, that's good. Yeah, I'm already paying it, and I had heard that they was going to, you know, do away with it. I didn't know if that affected me or not, so I can't claim it.
Well, so if you started paying last year?
No, I started paying 4 years ago.
Okay, but yeah, if you started paying last year or the year before, it's just, but not if you started paying this year.
Oh, no.
I'm asking my experts. I know you don't know, James. That's why you called. Go ahead.
Yeah, so if you started, I think the exact date is January 1, 2018.
And this is extremely important, Harold, because everything that was changed in the tax code in December 2017 mm-hmm. is not set into perpetuity. So there are several implications that will be expiring in the coming 5, 6, 7 years and so forth. So once again, what extremely matters here is that we need to wake up. We need to empower ourselves. We need to be aware of how politicians are making decisions that impact our lifestyles, our communities. And this kind of conversation, Harold, is why you need to be celebrated for actually bringing direct empowerment to the community.
But Jason, I'm sorry, James, thank you so much for your phone call. But with that said, here's the problem with that. During the run-up to the passing of this legislation, depending on what side of the aisle you were on determined what you heard. And even after it, you know, we had the Republicans saying that this is going to be great for the middle class and that you're going to get more money in your paychecks. And then you had the Democrats saying that this was It was a scam. They didn't like it, that this was going to hurt the middle class. But the reality is all of 2018, probably up until November, people like Chris could not tell us how this was going to impact us. I've asked several tax accountants, CPAs, all during the course of last year, and the answer that I got was, we don't know. And now that we know, obviously based on this conversation, a lot of people are getting hurt because, as you suggested, Chris, well, yeah, you saw maybe $20 or $50 in your paycheck, but for, let's talk about people that are not that are above the poverty level, working people, or the middle class, whether you're married or single, an extra $20 to $50 in your paycheck, you don't even see it. And so I think that that's one of the really difficult conversations for people that now owe who didn't owe before. They may have felt like they were bamboozled, which goes back to my first question. Who is getting refunds outside of those who are reaping the benefit of the earned income tax credit? Who is getting a refund?
Those who have the economic means to hire professionals to maximize the tax code as much as possible. So those who are able to aggressively harvest losses, those who are able to defer compensation, those who are able to set up corporations to receive the income rather than directly being paid to the individual. So I just mentioned three type of strategies that primarily those who are ultra high net worth are able to maximize. So once again, Harold, the tax code is set up not for the benefit of low or moderate income families. It's set up for those who can be hiring professionals to maximize the tax code. So one of your callers referred to Jeff Bezos being mentioned as one of the individuals with no tax implication. It is just unbelievable to think of that, right? But hey, it's 100% legal. It's 100% transparent. He and his family have spent a lot of money to not give any taxes to Uncle Sam. But what matters is really to ensure that those who do not have access to those professionals, the rest of us, and those who are living paycheck to paycheck, do understand that the tax system is very different now. And going forward, we need to stop thinking that that refund that used to be expected will be coming our way. So we need to be ensuring that we are more prudent on managing our finances. And it's very easy to say that from this perspective, Harold, but what matters the most is those who are seeking to survive get assistance from nonprofits like CAV, from other entities that exist all over the community to work with you on getting financial coaching, getting free tax preparation services, getting access to bank accounts, and are able to save.
Let me go to the phone lines. Jason calling from Northwest. Thank you so much for calling, Jason. What's on your mind?
Yes. Hi. Good evening, gentlemen. Question I have is concerning the earned income credit for a married couple that are retired, no dependents, on a fixed income. Can they take advantage of the earned income credit?
Before we answer that, I've got to take a break. Jason, I need you to hold on to the line for me, please. And when we come back, we'll have an answer. Lines are still open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about tax season. Wins and losses. Are you going to get a refund? What does the new tax law mean for you? We'll be back in a moment.
This is Renee Nash. You know,
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're answering your tax questions tonight. Of course, this is the first tax filing season since sweeping tax reform was passed in 2017. We had Jason on the line. Jason, refresh our memory real quick. Ask your question again, please.
Okay. The question is, this is concerning the earned income credit. For a couple, a married couple filing separately on a restricted income, in other words, they are on a fixed income, how does the earned income credit, can it be applied to them?
And what makes up your fixed income, sir?
That would be Social Security and annuities.
Okay, yeah. So if your annuities are greater than $3,000, then you would not qualify for the Earned Income Tax Credit. Mm-hmm. And also, this is for folks who have worked in 2018. So in this case, it would not count as earned income.
I see. Okay, very good. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jason.
All right.
Share with us some resources that can help people better understand what has happened since 2017 so that they're not horribly surprised if they've not filed yet.
I would recommend three points of information. The first one is actually, believe it or not, the IRS has put out some great brief straight-to-the-point YouTube videos, so check out the IRS YouTube channel. The second one would be throughout the U.S., there are multiple nonprofit organizations and community-based organizations that focus on providing access to free tax preparation services. So regardless of your jurisdiction, if you have access to a 311 or a 211 phone system, dial that. I know that exists in Maryland, in D.C., in Virginia. Or also go to the nearest state tax authority, because a lot of those state tax authorities have started to provide more information. So, for example, in D.C., the Office of Tax and Revenue has started to provide more direct assistance on how the state taxes would be impacted given the changes to the national tax code. Mm.
And also, I want to mention, on our website, we actually have a learning center. If you go to my website, www.tscpas.com, that's tscpas.com, we have a learning center where we write articles and give people advice and bring them, keep them abreast of all the change in tax codes and tax laws and tell them how it would impact them.
And as I said, all of those bits of information and those resources will be posted on WHUR.com in addition to the podcast for this particular discussion. We had a lot of conversations about married people, but what about single people? Is this a good or bad year for them?
So they're also seeing the same trend as far as owing money. Once again, coming down to the withholdings and the W-4s, everyone, as the gentleman mentioned earlier, we're seeing an increase of people not receiving money or refunds a lot substantially lower or owing money this year. Mm-hmm. And I think it's affecting people a lot, and a lot of people are putting off and coming in later even to file their taxes, because I have seen on social media people like, hey, wait a minute, I was getting back money last year, all these years, now I'm owing, this is affecting me, is it affecting you? And I see that in a lot of group chats that people are saying that, hey, we are owing this year.
What about charitable work? I know in years past, if you volunteered for an organization, that wasn't necessarily tax deductible. Just because you spent your time at the local shelter or at some other kind of charity organization, thank you for your time and your service, but that didn't translate. Has that changed this year?
That hasn't changed. What you can write off would be the mileage that you drive to a place to volunteer, which you, I believe, you get 14 cents a mile, mm-hmm. or 18 cents a mile, one of those two, where you can deduct that. But as far as writing off your time, that's kind of too subjective,
yeah,
for the IRS to let you do that.
But Harold, you're touching on something that would be impacting all of us, and it's too early to tell right now, but churches, temples, nonprofit organizations, student associations, we do not know right now the significant hit that they might be taking, because now a good number of folks might not be so much incentivized to take advantage of a tax write-off, because that percentage is going to be much smaller and it's going to be more challenging to actually get a tax write-off by making a donation, except if you're actually cutting a check to a nonprofit.
That's another question, because if you are in this area, and I know we have listeners that are hearing this conversation from all over the country. And for those who may not be familiar with the Washington, D.C. area, D.C. remains one of the most expensive regions to live. And so there are federal government workers here. And I'll just throw this out. If you have a married couple, family of four, where you have two federal government workers, all of them making the two of them making more than six figures, that income could very well be $235,000. Well, if they are contributing to their church, their tithing, 10%, okay? At 225, we're talking $25,000 a year. Let's just assume that, just for the sake of argument. What is the charitable donation now for this tax season? It's $10,000?
So if a charitable contribution is going to be the actual amount that you actually pay.
Okay.
So in that case, it would be the $25,000.
Okay, so there's no cap on charitable contributions?
Right.
Okay, because I know there was a lot of discussion about that leading up to the passing of this legislation as to whether or not that was going to be capped.
So that wasn't capped. What was capped was the state tax deduction, which is capped at $10,000. And that's what created a big uproar in places like D.C., New York, where the taxes
are high, Maryland.
Yeah. Right, where the taxes are very high.
So let me be clear. Explain that. So are you no longer able to deduct your state taxes?
Capped at $10,000.
$10,000.
So we have quite a few clients who paid in $17,000, $18,000. So they're, in essence, this year are leaving $8,000 on the table.
Lisa, calling from Laurel. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, yes, I was calling. I have a daughter in college that also does a summer job, and she makes less than, I guess, $2,000. Am I still able to claim her and write off her expenses for college?
Yes, you can. So that was a great question. You can still claim your daughter. You would still claim your daughter, and also you can write off the college and tuition that you pay for her. The school should be sending you a 1098-T for tuition that verifies she's in school, and it tells you how much the tuition bill was for and if she received any scholarships. So you would need that also to write off and qualify for the American Opportunity Tax Credit.
What is the American Opportunity Tax Credit?
That's a credit that students can take for their first 4 years in college, where they actually receive up to $2,500 for being in school, a tax credit so that parents can claim or the student can claim if they're an independent student.
Okay, but Lisa sounds like the student is not independent.
Right. So she would be the one claiming that credit on her taxes, long if her child filed a dependent of another on their taxes when they do their tax returns.
Is that new, this? Because I've never heard of that before. I got a kid in college. So, you know.
So the tax credits for school have been around, I want to say, probably a good 10 years now.
Okay.
Yeah, so they've been around for a while.
Okay.
And that's a great incentive to focus on a couple of matters, Harold. So, for example, the caller right now should be aware that you need to be looking at college savings accounts, CSAs, or a 529 account. You need to be aware that there is a way to let an investment for yourself or your children or your grandchildren or anybody else who is aspiring to go to college to grow tax-free, as long as once you withdraw the funds from a 529 account, you're utilizing that money for education-related expenses. So let's please educate ourselves on 529 accounts. What I'm always preaching, Harold, is rather than giving a gift to a younger member of a child, open a 529 account in their name. You get the tax credit, and they get the power of knowing that they're growing up and their family's investing for their well-being down the road.
But that wouldn't help Lisa, because her daughter is in college now.
Right. So if her daughter, if Lisa's daughter is still going to be in college next year or 2 years down the road, you can still be opening a 529 account and then withdrawing the funds. There will be a de minimis market value growth probably. But again, it's all about maximizing the tax credit in a legal and transparent way.
I see. Lisa, good luck. Thank you so much for your phone call. I have a few minutes left, and I'll start with Chris, what do you want people to know as we are moving through the middle of this tax season? What do you kind of sum up your feelings as you begin to learn more about how this is impacting people?
Yes, sir. Because of the new tax law changes, I think it's more important and imperative now that people seek out and get professional help so you can really have a tax strategy and really maximize your tax planning throughout the year. Because there are some opportunities where we can lower your taxes if we have proper tax planning in place. But in order for that to be effective, you really need to have, you can't come in and see me or see any tax professional in December. You really need to be reaching out now for 2019
next year. Yeah. And Joseph, your final thoughts.
Know about the tax credits that are available for those families on the lower side of the income spectrum. Be fully aware of the Earned Income Tax Credit. Be aware of free tax preparation services that are available in the District of Columbia for families earning up to $55,000. Take advantage of these great services that will be creating wealth in the community.
I see. Gentlemen, thank you so much. This has been not only enlightening, but somewhat disheartening. And so hopefully this will help a lot of people out there that are feeling the stress of this new tax law. Joseph Lightman, Santa Cruz, and Chris Tinker, I appreciate you guys coming in.
Thanks, Harold.
The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, February 26th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.